Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is our paranormal afterlife, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. And you can enjoy the extended version of this episode ad-free, along with over 200 hours of extended episodes on Patreon. This week, I'm talking to Admir Serrano about his book, Nights on the Other Side, How I Discovered My Immortality. Admir is a Brazilian-American researcher, writer, and lecturer on paranormal phenomena, such as out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences, deathbed visions, after-death communication, reincarnation, mediumship, and the afterlife. His interest in these subjects was triggered after he began having spontaneous out-of-body experiences in 2000. Hi, Admir. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
My pleasure, Simon. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to talk about your book. It's called Nights on the Other Side, How I Discovered My Immortality. So what I wanted to ask about, this book is mostly about out-of-body experiences, but was there one single incident that led you down this path that got you interested in this?
I guess so. First, the book is upcoming. And it's going to be published by Six Books. It's part of a publishing house called Collective Inks of London, and should be available probably like around October or November. Regarding your question, I think there are things, and I have been, and then I'm sure my life experience, that leads you to a path that you must be on, even if you don't realize it. And this experience, my experience, the experience that led to what started happening in the year 2000, which was out-of-body experiences, lucid, knowing who I am and all that kind of stuff. I was entirely myself. Totally myself, my whole identity with me, even if I was out of my body was laying in my bed in Miami. But the whole thing, I would say, that started in 1998-1999, when I had a situation like I had a business, and my business went bankrupt. And I thought I lost everything I had. It wasn't much, but that was everything I had. And at that point, I started questioning why things happened, why those things had happened to me, why I had gone through that thing that is obviously very unpleasant. But I wasn't upset or anything, but little did I know that we need some that kind of event to shake us up. And I knew that I had to get into the spiritual path somehow. So in my quest to find out why that happened to me, I ran into literature, religion even, and things that that ultimately I found out from those teachings, the universal law of cause and effect. That meaning that everything that you do, every choice you make, is going to have a consequence. It's going to have a result. So, and that result is obviously on pace with the kind of your choice or the cause. So if the cause was good, the result is good. As the cause is bad, the result is obviously bad or inconvenient. Although I wasn't doing anything wrong, but I had been doing something like some bad management, not abusing anything. And then, but that was also part of a plan. I say it, a life plan that we don't know. We only understand why things happen to us when it happened and the way it happened at a certain time in the future when you put all the pieces together, just like a puzzle. So in that event of going bankrupt led me into a path that began, obviously, when you start asking why that happened or why this happened, why I'm here and what life is really about. So you start asking questions that it's like it comes from the soul, not from the brain. And then as I started going to that spiritual path, being more mindful of my choices, being more mindful of everything that I did, and also being thankful for everything that happened or happens in my life, all the blessings that I get every day. So I spent about 5 years from 1999 to 2000 in this, it was a philosophy of religion called religious science. And Ernest Holmes was the founder. Actually, he was not the founder, his students were. And that is all this thing, you know, positive thinking. It was a new thought religion. I'm sure you're familiar with the book, The Secret, and also the documentary, The Secret. And The Secret is based on this science of mind, of you making your affirmations, of your beliefs, and that we are everything, everybody, and us through the whole universe, we are all linked together. So when you look deeper into that, if you go a little bit more on the physical side, physicist side, to be like quantum physics, where we are part of the universe, we are part of this big system of energy and synchrony, and we are not apart. So everything that we do affects our lives and also the lives of everyone that we might be around, and probably the whole of creation even. So and I found out about this cause and effect thing, and through those 5 years I was very deep into like meditating more and be more mindful of things around me and so forth. And then all of a sudden I started having this out of body experience. And that occurred at one time I was sleeping in my bed at night. And all of a sudden I see myself floating. And I became immediately totally lucid. I knew how I was. Yeah, and I saw, I was looking down, and that is the first chapter of the book, and that I entitled Rediscovering My Immortality. And then I saw I was flying like through a small forest of pine trees. And, you know, it's very curious. The place was like a regular, like part of a forest or something, but it was so peaceful. And I felt so light. And I was curious, what was happening. And I had that feeling that I had been there before. So that was not the first time, but that I had been there, the feeling I had. However, at that moment, it was the first time that I was fully, totally conscious that was happening, so that I have clear memory of that event still for after 25 years. And then I noticed that there was this sandy path, like, you know, if you go to a rural place, like a farm or something, and you see those sandy path, so I noticed up ahead there was this a like a set of houses, like a small village type. And then there was this big, very nice green field that covered like bright green, beautiful. And then I was about what, 10 to 15 meters above ground, because I noticed the road down below and the beautiful blue sky. Then I looked ahead. That was not far from where I was. On the side of the road, there was this little, it looked like a guardhouse. That's what I associated with the guardhouse, because it was right by the road, and the road led to the village. It kind of, I was straight from when I was, then there was a guardhouse, then it kind of curved to the left towards the village from where I was seeing it to my left, and in front of me was the guardhouse. So I was curious, and I thought, let me see what that is. And I saw that there were some writings on the wall. And the houses in the village were white, and they had tile, like a light brown clay tile type on the roof. And the same thing for the guardhouse, which was small. So then I thought about going to the guardhouse, and I immediately was down there, like floating near it without any movement, just by thinking of it. And then I was on the side of the guardhouse, and there was a opening, like a window. And a lady poked her head out, and she was so pleasant, and like with some kind of smile, she asked me, "Are you lost?" I said, "Well, maybe I am." And then I asked her, "What kind of place is this?" She said, "Well, you can call it a colony." And I'm Brazilian, and I was born in a coffee farm in Brazil, in the state of São Paulo. And I lived in farms, like some of the farms. And the last one that I lived from, probably when I was 5 to 7, had those houses, like one next to the other. And that was called colony. So I asked her, "Is that a farm colony?" And she kind of smiled, no, not a farm colony. And then I remember that in Brazil, Brazilians are very Catholic and also very spiritualistic. And I was not into this paranormal thing back then, ever. I had heard, I didn't believe much in any of it. So, and I knew that the spiritists, they'd say that the places that where the dead people go after they die are called colony. So I asked her, dead people colony, just like that. She kind of laughed again. "Well, you could say colony, but nobody's dead here." And then I started thinking, I was going to ask her, I was wondering, is she dead too? Then I was thinking about asking her, "Are you?" I didn't have to. She looked at me and she said, with that same smile, "Do I look dead to you?" I said, no, it's just a habit, I think. And then I asked her, then I told her, "Can I go inside? Can I go and see?" And she said, no, not now. And with that, then there's this thing that happens when you are out of your body. You are like, even if you're fully conscious, then like this, and you're lucid. So I was totally lucid. I could say my name. I could say my address, my phone number, as I have done that numerous times. And then the lucidity starts fading. And I also learned that when it starts fading, you could go into a dreaming mode. you know, not necessarily you wake up. You go to a dreamy mode, and in that what you call dreamy, let's say that I could have gone to that same village at that very moment after my lucidity faded and interpreted it as a dream, although it wasn't, although I had been there. And then after a while, I woke up. And so that was the first lucid experience.
Well, can I ask about the perception? Because when you're there, is it the same waking state that you have right now, and that it's like you are actually there? Is it a really clear sight and sound, and you feel your hands and your legs and things?
Yeah, this is because then after I started, after this experience, I was curious, because then it started happening. Like even like after the next day or the day after, they came as, you know, an avalanche. It was a bunch. It was a lot. So I started researching, and I found a place in Miami that study out-of-body experiences, and they do teaching and training and ideas for you to induce or to self-induce, and how to become lucid and how to increase your lucidity when you're out. So there's ways then when lucidity is very high, and that has happened to me many, many times. And then this exercise, when you first notice that you're out of your body, one of the first things, we call it reality check. So one of the things that I say when I notice that I'm out of my body is first thing, I thank my creator or God, whatever you call it, for that opportunity and possibly the opportunity to serve. And I feel a connection, a great, great connection at that very moment when I am out. And then I kind of try to increase lucidity to see where I am. Because sometimes I gain lucidity in my body, and then I start leaving my body, my room, and I start flying many times. And then there is another way that this is one mode of happening. And another one is that like you're kind of dreaming, and then all of a sudden you become lucid, totally lucid. And then I know that I'm out of my body. And then the reality check, one of the things that I do is exactly looking at my hands. I look at my hands, I look at my legs. And then sometimes it is so lucid that I say, and oh, okay, part of the reality check, when I say I'm out of my body, I say I'm Edmir Serrano. And then I start saying that I was born of such a date. My phone number is such and such. My address is such and such. I say it entirely. So when it is lucid, I have, like, I can, I'm there knowing that I am in another place, another dimension. It could also be in the physical plane, as may have happened many times. And I have the lucidity equally, almost equally to my awakened state. I can hear sounds. I can smell things. I can feel the breeze, and I can feel the warmth of the sunshine as that happened before when I'm totally lucid. Sometimes it's very hard to be totally lucid. So most of the time you're kind of halfway. But in the highest, I think I've been in the highest point of lucidity, is just as you are here.
So when you look down at your body, you look at your hands and your legs, do they appear like from a younger body, like when you were 20? And if there was a scar on your physical body, would it show up on your out-of-body body?
I never paid attention to those details. And I couldn't see my face anywhere. So I cannot say that it looks younger. It is possible because I have seen like especially relatives who died, and I saw them after they died, and in the spirit world, and I see like one of the last times a couple years ago that I had a very dear uncle who died, and he was so big, he was very fat because of his he ate a lot and stuff. He had this big barrel belly that he couldn't bend down or anything, and he died. And then I saw him 6 months later in the place. His face resembled the same, but his body was very, it was thin. It was just a regular, like a body when, because I met him when he was young too. We were friends. And it resembled like his body at that time. But mine, when I look down, I'm not fat or anything. I'm regular guy. It seems the same.
And you talk in the book about when you want to get out of body, you achieve the vibrational state. So what is this vibration? What's happening there?
I didn't know about this vibrational state until I went to that school. It's called International Academy of Consciousness. I think they might be in London too. And that's where I heard the first time about it, although I do remember in my younger years that there were times when I went to sleep, and especially on Sunday nights, that I had this vibration. It scared me to death, and I kind of shook or shake my body for that to end. And then it's this thing. Now I know what it means, but I didn't know before, that the vibration is when our energy body or spirit body, or at least part of it, is withdrawing from the physical body. And that happens when you, or for that to happen, you have to put yourself in a very relaxed state. And then that happens. To me, I feel this vibration frequently, and mainly when I'm beginning to get out of my body. Or sometimes I feel the vibration and I think that I am getting out of my body, and actually I am returning to it. So when I'm leaving my body, it happens like this. And that happens very frequently. For instance, I'm sleeping, and I have a feeling that most of my out-of-body experiences, because I wake up after many of them and I check the hours, the time, so like be it from 2 to 5 a.m. Now not 5 a.m. anymore, because I wake up at 5 a.m. every morning. So it happens like between 2 and 4. So I'm laying down sleeping, you know, after a cycle of sleep, for instance, or during sleep, I started feeling this vibration. It's a tingling. It's a tingling in the body. It's not uncomfortable. Not at all. There's no pain. There's nothing of that sort. But it could be scary if you don't know what it is. So now that I know, when I feel that vibration, I know that I'm getting out of my body. And then what I do is, and then I become conscious. Okay, that's very important. At the moment that I feel the tingling, even if it's the first one, because then it starts to spread, increase. When I have that first sensation, I become lucid immediately. And I say, I'm getting out of my body. So then I focus totally on getting out. And I start moving out. And then I start, I'm out of my body, I'm out of my room. And then I notice sometimes, or most of the times, when I get out of my body from my bed in that situation, it takes like minutes or, but there's a time, there's a period that I can't open my eyes. I try to open my eyes, but I can't. And one of the reasons that I don't open my eyes immediately or right away is because I have this feeling that I am too close to my physical body. And if I open my eyes, and I know that now it's my spirit eyes, let's say, I might wake up. So what I do is I try to distance myself from the body, and that kind of happens kind of automatically. And then when I get a distance away from my body, then I open my eyes, and then I see that I am in someplace else, another place. It could be in an earth plane. It could be in other country even, or in places that are not, that resemble the earth atmosphere, the earth landscape and things like that. But it's like the other side of earth, so to speak. It's the non-physical earth, which is a replica of what we see here. And many times there are like mountains of different colors, flowers of different colors, even animals of different types. And then the tingling, we're back to the tingling. And then one that I felt from that I was able to induce an out of body experiences from the awake state. When I decided to do the experiment, I went to my bed, I lay down, and I started relaxing because I knew the drill already, how I need the procedure to proceed to induce first the relaxation state. And when we are fully relaxed, then the chances that the vibrational state starts is great. And that's what we want. That's the next step. Because the vibration state, as I noticed in that out-of-body experience, it is the withdrawal of the physical body, the spirit body from the physical body. Because I started feeling the vibration from this little tingling and on my toes, and then it started spreading, and then I had all my body entirely tingling with that energy. And then I noticed, after this vibration reached the peak, then it started withdrawing. And the one thing that was very important that I knew from the drills and from my training is that I had to be fully focused. I couldn't have any kind of fear or doubt or anything. I had to go with it and certain that I was going to get out of my body. And then the energy, like this tingling, it's like the energy stops, the tingling stops from my toes. And then it went up like a receding. Before it started in the toes, or the tingling in the toe, the rest of my body was not tingling. Then it moved up, and my whole body was tingling. And now when the tingling stopped or ceased from the tip of my toes, it was a reverse process. So this energy started withdrawing and accumulating, going up. And from every part that it left my body, that part became cold and rigid, because I noticed when, and then accumulates in your head. So it accumulated in my head. So at that moment, and I was totally lucid, again, totally focused, but I could feel that my body was rigid and cold, very cold, like a corpus. But then my whole being was not in the body anymore. It was in the head. It was in my head. And there was all kinds of noises in my head. They're like the whooshing sound of wind and laughter. And there was a jammed radio station, voices. But I was, in the midst of that, like chaos in my mind, I was totally, totally lucid. Now, one thing that I noticed is that at that moment, I was fully focused in physical reality. I knew that I was in my physical body. I knew that I was in my bed, and I knew that I was in my bedroom, and I knew that I was in Miami.
Hello, this is me, Simon. Did you know that during a past life regression, you can meet with your spirit guide? I conduct past life regression sessions over Zoom, and I've guided many clients to a spiritual encounter with their guide. If you would like to ask me how a session would work for you, you can book a free 20-minute consultation on my website, pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. The link is in the show notes.
And then when I felt that the I knew that I was, this is what I had in mind. I'm going to get out of my body. So whatever it was that was happening in my head, I knew there was a process for me to get out of my body. I didn't have any doubt about it. And I also had learned from the training from the National IAC, that's called the National Academy of Consciousness, that if the moment that I noticed that I was going to get out of my body, if I gave it like a direction where to go, I would end up there. So I had planned, if I succeeded, that I was going to go to my sister's house in Brazil, in the city of São Paulo, 6,000 kilometers from Miami. So and then all of a sudden I thought, go to Marlene's. And I heard this tuck in the center of my forehead, like a gunshot type. And I was in front of the house of my sister in the city of São Paulo. And the time that I thought, go to Marlene's, I was right there. And then I was not shocked or not amazed, because I had had many out-of-body experiences before that. So what I do most often is that I look around to see where I was. And I looked around. I was exactly in her place, because I lived in the house many, many years before. And I saw everything. I even heard dogs barking. I think it was about 2 in the morning, because it was 11 o'clock in Miami, 11:30 Miami when I did that. And sometimes Brazil is 2 hours ahead of Miami, or sometimes 3. So it would have been like either 1:30 or 2 in the morning, something like that. So, and then one thing that I noticed, that the person or my being, the who I am, was that person there, 6,000 kilometers away from the physical body. I could think, I knew who I was. I knew everything. So that was my reality. And so, and that was the day, and I have that chapter in my book, chapter 4, when I discovered my immortality. Because during the process of getting out of the body that I just described, when the vibration or the tingling was like withdrawing, there was this sound, like when you crumple like cellophane paper, like the kind of noise. And I paid attention to that. It was like it's ripping somehow, but there's no discomfort, no pain, anything. Like this energy is ripping itself from whatever it was that was connected to. And in the literature, spiritual literature, this energy is connected to every atom, to every cell, to every organ of our body. And then when it gets out, well, what it is doing when it's withdrawing, it is forming this spirit body. And then when all the energy, as it happened to me, was in my head, then it escaped. It was me, because I did look the first thing I did when I first I saw myself standing in front of my sister's the door of my sister's house, and then I looked at my hands and my legs, and I was there entirely, totally me, and totally lucid, focused. And I also knew that, as it had happened many times before, that I was what was in front of me was a physical object that vibrates in a much, much slower rate. So I knew that in that body, I could walk through it, as you see in movies of spirit crossing walls. And I did just that. And then I crossed it was a small house. So I crossed the living room and went straight to the bedroom where my sister was sleeping. I also crossed the door and I saw her. Then I stopped after I crossed the door to her room. And I started looking because I saw her bed was on a corner of the bedroom next to a wall. And the head of the bed was against the wall. And I noticed two bodies laying there. And both hers, I saw her physical body laying on the bed with the head, the physical head, towards the wall, like on there, like where the head of the bed was. And I noticed that she had this white bandage wrapped around her head. And then I noticed up, it was floating above, about 10 centimeters or so, her physical body floating on top of it. But the feet of the physical body was on top of the physical head. And the head of the physical body was on top of the feet, the physical feet. And the spirit body, the floating body, also had that bandage wrapped around its head. And then I noticed she was like sleepy. She was knocked out. Mostly the physical body, because then I floated to her spirit body, and when she noticed me, she moved and kind of sat in the air, and we start talking. And I told her, "You are not dreaming. You are not dreaming. I am here visiting you, and I'm gonna call you in the morning, and I'm gonna ask you if you remember this dream." And then I chatted, we talked and stuff. I don't remember exactly. And then I kept repeating, "You're not dreaming. This is not a dream. I'm really here. I'm visiting you. And in the morning, I'll call you and I'm going to ask about that." And, I was talking to her and I noticed the bandage, the head had a bandage, white bandage. But for some reason, I was not curious at the moment to ask her, why do you have this bandage in your head? It didn't even cross my mind. And then my lucidity started fading, and then I woke up in my body. In the morning, I did call her, and I asked about, and she didn't remember anything. And I forgot to ask her about the bandage, and I regret it very, very much, because you'd have asked, because that would have, this case is like verifiable, but if she had gone to bed with a bandage wrapped on her physical head, that would be a truly 100% verifiable case, because, and it is verifiable even though, because, well, something interesting happened. That a couple of years ago, at that time I began to write. because I was doing a lot of research on paranormal phenomena, out of body experiences, which I was experiencing, near death experience, reincarnation, all that kind of stuff. And so I started writing, and I wrote a book, my first book, called The End of Death. No, death is not the end, but it's only Portuguese, not translated into any other language. And I went there in 2008 to launch that book, and I'd stay in her house. And every morning she'd bring coffee, wake me up with a cup of coffee. And then one morning she didn't show up, and I was kind of worried. So I went, I was sleeping in the same room that I had seen her in my experience, and she had moved to another room in the house. So one morning that she didn't show up, I went to look for her, and I saw she was in the other bedroom, and the door was ajar. So I pushed a little bit, and I noticed she was sleeping, and I noticed that she had their head wrapped in a white bandage, exactly like I had seen in that experience. And I knew that my sister suffered from migraines since she was 9 years old, and it increased as she grew. And at that time, she had been having very, very bad bouts of migraines. And so I went in and said, "What's going on?" She said, "I got one of those killer ones." And I asked her, what is this bandage in your head? Then she said, when the pain is too much, if I wrap this bandage around very tight, it helps me alleviate the pain and helps me sleep. And she had tied like a little knot in the bandage, and she would wrap it in a way that the knot was on her left temple. And then as she tightened the bandage, it pushed into the temple, and that would help soothe a little bit. And then I told her that I saw your head exactly like this the day that I had the visit.
So is this something where you could do an experiment, you know, where, I don't know if you've tried this, where we could say, okay, tonight I'm going to put something on my desk here, we'll have five numbers on it, you could come and see what the numbers are, and then tomorrow you tell me what the numbers are? Can you do those sorts of things?
Now, let me tell you about that, because I did one of those experiments like that. And also, I mentioned it in the book. And I also learned that experiment with IAC, the International Academy of Consciousness. So it's called the Thirst Experiment. So one day, I decided to do the Thirst Experiment. So the last time that I drank water, it was about noon. And then I went throughout the day without drinking any water or any liquid whatsoever. So I was working in a company, and then my shift was over. I went home and did things that I need to do at home. And then when it was time to go to bed, it was probably also about 10:30, 11, something like that. Then my experiment began. So what I did, I got exactly the three cards, index cards. I got three index cards, white ones. And I wrote on one of them, "Fly through the ceiling." And another one, "Get out through the front door." And another one, "Jump through the sliding glass door. I wrote those three in blue ink. And I got a cup of water, a glass of water, tall glass of water, cold water. And I put the water and the cards on the stove top. And the stove had a light on top, which is normally there's a light on top of the stove. So I turned that light on. The kitchen light was off. Just that light, though, it says, low light. But I the idea was to have the cards in, with some kind of light so that I could see or read it when I was out on my body. And then before I went to sleep, I did like, or something like I put my, the glass of water to my lips, brought to my lips, but I didn't drink. I just felt that just, the, you know, teasing. But, and then my idea was then to go to bed, lay down and do the experiment. But the experiment that I thought of doing was exactly as it had happened with my sister when I induced that. But it didn't happen that way. I fell asleep. But before that, I had done the before I went, I lay down to sleep. I had put the drink, the water, brought the water to my lips, put it down, and read one of the cards. Then I went to bed, lay down, relaxed a little bit, went to the kitchen again, did the same thing again, read another card. I did that like three or four times. And then I went to bed. So my idea was to get out like the way I got out with my sister's experiment. But I fell asleep. I fell asleep, but then I felt myself again getting out, getting up, and walking to the kitchen in the right, exactly the same route that I had done. And I went to grab the glass of water. But I just kept pumping my hand inside the glass of water because I couldn't hold it. And then when that happened, the first thing that I thought was, I'm out of my body, because that had happened in some other similar circumstances as well. So then when I, so when I got that level of lucidity, I knew it, you know, I'm out of my body. So then I remembered the task, read a card. So, and I looked at the cards and I saw the cards. I saw the, you know, the rectangular white thing, and I saw the blue, the whatever that I had written there, but I couldn't, the letters were not clear. I couldn't read it because the words like it moved in my experiences out of my body. I also noticed that depending, I have read things out of my body clearly many times when my lucidity was high. But when it is low, you kind of don't see it. It's kind of fuzzy, or sometimes the words, they just jump around. You can't make up the word when your lucidity is low. So that probably was something that happened at that moment. I was not totally lucid. I couldn't increase my lucidity. I didn't. That was also in kind of the beginning. I didn't have the experience that I have now. So I couldn't read any of the instructions. So the front door was closed to the kitchen. So I just got out of the kitchen and passed through the front door. And then there was a porch. I was on the second floor. There was a porch there, and I looked down, right in front of me was a parking lot. So I jumped down, walked a little bit like around the parking lot, looked up, saw that beautiful starry sky, and jumped up. And then I jumped up and went away. Then I don't know, it could have, like I said, it could, I could have had an experience that it would resemble a dream, And then I'd wake up in my body.
Well, I wanted to change the subject. You have helping the newly dead. What happened there?
Yeah, that was something that I had no idea what was going to happen when I was there. But those amazing things started to happen. And to me, it was even the first time that happened. I don't remember exactly which episode was that first time. But even the first time, because all the times that happened, I didn't, it felt so natural to me, you know? And it is possible, as you can find in the literature, especially like in the spiritist literature, and spiritism is a Brazilian religion that I follow. We, as the body sleeps, we don't stay. We as a spirit, we are independent from the physical body, and we don't stay in the body. We leave the body and we go hang out in the afterlife, so to speak. But now I know that, because now I know for being lucid out of the body, for being lucid in the non-physical world, I know that many of the dreams that we think that are dreams are actually us out of our body, doing things on another dimension, or even on an earthly dimension, where there are like patches of spiritual facilities. I mentioned that in my book. And we are trained. So, and from the literature and from my own experience, I can tell you for certain that when we die, when we move to the other side, it's not going to be that strange to us. Many of the environment we're going to recognize, because we've been there before many times. Probably we hang out every night in the very place where we're going to go after we die. Because I have seen and I have asked in the places that I have been most often. And I have asked, is this the place I'm going to come after I die? And the answer was yes. So we are, you know, it's something that we already trained. So when that experience, I'm going to tell one that was very interesting that I cherish that experience, because it is something that happens to many or most of people who pass to the other side without understanding anything about the afterlife, without believing that there is an afterlife. They're believing that they will survive death. Many don't. And they will survive death. And they won't know what's going on. And they'll get not scared or afraid, but it's like stuck in a nightmare that has no end, because they don't know what's happening.
The book you have is called Nights on the Other Side, How I Discovered My Immortality. And when is that out?
It should be about October. And I have a website, which is nightsontheotherside.com. They have reviews there about the book. And my book has been also studied and read by neuroscientists. And in April, I'm going to be talking about my experiences at the Science of Consciousness Convention in Tucson, Arizona, which is one of the major consciousness research centers in the United States and also in the world, I guess, because they work in association with Oxford University. They're in your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
And I sent them my experiences, and I entitled the email, the subject line as, I experience consciousness outside of my body. And I think they sent a couple of accounts, and they liked it, and also sent a proposal, like an abstract, and they liked it, and they invited me to go and talk. And now at 1 o'clock, I'm going to be interviewed by 1 o'clock my time, in 30 minutes by the neuroscientist, Marina Weiler. She is the head of out-of-body experiences section of DOPS of University of Virginia, the Department of Perceptual Studies. So about my experience as well.
Well, it's been great talking to you. Thanks a lot for being on the podcast.
My pleasure, Simon. Thank you for inviting me. And perhaps we can have another when the book comes out.
Yeah. This week, I was talking to Admir Serrano about his book, Nights on the Other Side, How I Discovered My Immortality. If you want to hear the rest of this amazing interview, you can sign up to Patreon. The Patreon episodes are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife or click on the Patreon button on my homepage at pastlifeshypnosis.co.uk. The links are in the show notes. And don't forget, my book titled Verified Near-Death Experiences is on Amazon. It's sold over 2,000 copies and has over 50 five-star reviews. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.